Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future Know Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it.
On today's episode, we got the third member of our crew, Peach, in the house. We're going to discuss this week and actually this past weekend and everything that has transpired throughout the country. We're going to talk about the challenges going into FSU's camp. And then finally, we're going to address recruiting. Florida State has gotten a lot of recruits over the last transfers and recruits over the last, I'd say, 5 days or so. We're going to break them all down. Sam, you ready?
Yeah, let's get it.
Peach, you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's go. All right. So, Peach, man, I think they've heard from us a lot. We haven't heard from you, man. How was your weekend, man? What is some of the things that you've I guess, how's your weekend been? You know, it's been looting riots. There's been a lot of stuff going on. Been recruits in Florida State. Seems like a lot's happened since the last time we talked to you, man. Tell us how your weekend was.
So my weekend was busy. One of my best friends started a business, I want to say 2 years ago, and I've actually, for the past year, I worked for him. But I'm kind of like his right-hand man starting a business, so I work 7 days a week, and the weekends are like when we, at least for now, is when we make a lot of our money. So I'm busy, and I told him, hey, I work for you on the weekends in the summer once football season comes. I'm back to Monday through Friday. So I'm just putting in work on the weekends. I keep up with, you know, what's going on in the world through Twitter. I don't really watch the news. I just keep up with, you know, the news through Twitter for the most part. I don't know. It's just been surreal, you know. I think everyone was kind of just processing things in their own way, you know. With the murder of George Floyd, and so it's just been crazy talking to people, talking with people at work about it, and. I work, you know, there's black people and white people that I work with. So it's actually been kind of interesting just having, like, we've had, like, somewhat open discussions at work. But for data, I mean, it's been a pretty good past few days. Everything else is shitty in the world, but it's been all right. I mean, it's been pretty positive for Florida State. That's nice. That's a little silver lining. But yeah, my weekend was good. Busy. I'm tired. I'm probably going to take Thursday off and just chill out for a day and then get back to it.
Okay. Sam, anything new, man?
Nah, man. You know me, man. I work every day. I work every day, so I don't take no days off. But actually, I did get lucky. I got Sunday off. And, man, I slept, like, the whole day. I just relaxed the whole day, man. And I ain't have my kid either, man. So, I soaked in all that quiet time. Of course, the George Floyd thing. I know we talked about that on the last part. You know, if you haven't listened to it, take a listen to that. It was really good. I thought it was a lot of good information in it, too. But, yeah, I just chilled. Had a cup of coffee early in the morning. Felt good.
Sounds like a plan, man.
What about you, B?
Just a cup of coffee. Nothing, man. I honestly.
But you know, like, once you start, like, Peach don't know this yet, but Peach, once you have a kid and you start working, like, all the time, like, a cup of coffee in the morning with, like, nobody in the house, like.
Hey, I don't drink coffee.
It's pretty amazing. I'm just saying. Well, you'll find something early in the morning, like.
I'm allergic to caffeine.
What?
I swear to God, I'm allergic to caffeine.
I can't live.
I know.
I can't live.
I drink a lot of water.
It's funny. I used to love and I got I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, and so I couldn't drink it, and it hurt me. And now I no longer have high blood pressure. I've lost weight, whatever, you know. So I'm back, you know, and I no longer have it anymore. I no longer need the medication, but I ain't had it in so long. I somehow have lost the taste for it.
Wow.
So yeah. So now I can't remember last time I had a cup of coffee, and so it's crazy right now because I probably feel like I need a cup of coffee, but I've been, I guess, functioning without it for so long. I don't need it anymore. So I ain't had a cup of coffee in it seemed like years.
Oh wow!
So hey, there you go. But nah, man, my weekend was busy. You know, I got the kids with me this weekend. So this week. So you know, I took them out to the beach. We went out to Volano Beach, which is out there in San Augustine. Had a chance to, you know, kind of social distance at the beach, which seems a bit awkward, but at the same time, it was just kind of good to get out the house and do something a little bit regular, man. Amidst everything that was going on around us, you know, it was a lot going on. And then Jacksonville's on a curfew. You know, we all in Duval County. I'm in Duval County. Sam in Duval County. So we all, you know, had to be in the house by 8 o'clock today because a lot of stuff going on in the nation. But outside of that, man, like you said, Florida State got some news going on, and we're gonna talk about it. So with that said, Peach, fill us in, man. We picked up a lot of commitment, some big, some, we picked up a lot of commitment. I'm gonna stop there. We picked up a lot of commitments. We're going to let Peach break them down for you. Go ahead, man.
So I'm going to name them all first just so I can make sure I got all my ducks in a row. We got Joshua Burrell, the wide receiver from Blythewood, South Carolina, which is outside of Columbia. Today, or the day of this being recorded at least, which is Monday, June 1st, we got Jackson West, tight end from Huntsville, Alabama. Then we got the two Mississippi State kids, Fabian Lovett, and I think the other one's name is Jerrion Jones.
Yeah, can we talk
and about, then there's we, one more.
Can we talk about real quick what those two commitments mean? The Jerrion Jones?
Those ones are huge.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. So Fabian Lovett has signed. Fabian Lovett has signed. So he is a Florida State Seminole. Jerrion Jones, as of now, hasn't signed. To be honest, I don't know why Fabian Lovett signed. Because he gave up all his leverage. I'm a fan of not signing until you have to. He doesn't have to sign yet. But maybe he wants to get to campus early. I don't really know how that works because he hasn't been social distancing or he hasn't like self quarantined. He's coming from a different town, so he's a little bit behind on like the quote unquote the plan.
Right.
But Jerrion Jones is committed. I think both of those. To answer your question, I think those are the two biggest gets of the weekend. The two transfers. One because they've been in college. They have lots of eligibility left, but they've also been around college weight rooms, and they both have had really good showings to their career so far. I have high expectations for both of them.
More so
Lovett. I really like Lovett. Then one kid I just want, just so I can remember, the other commitment we got was Jordan Eubanks from Northern Texas. I think Denton is where he's from. I used to live in there, so I think he's from Denton. The two biggest gets to me were the Mississippi State kids. I think I'm going to suspect that they're going to get a waiver. I think Lovett will be in the rotation. I don't think he'll be a starter. The thing about Lovett that I love the most is it kind of serves as a stopgap for the lack of, we're probably not going to get an elite guy in this class. An elite, like a really good defensive tackle. I think the only one we even got a chance with as of now. Now recruiting can change fast. Like once products are put on the field, recruiting can change fast. Coaches like Gus Malzahn could be fired at the end of the year. They've been trying to, you know what I mean? Like coaches can get fired. Coaches can go to the NFL. Coaches leave. So that can change fast. But as it stands now, the only DT that I think we even have any shot with is Lee Hunter. that's elite. Marcus Robinson is good. I wouldn't consider him elite. I think we get Marquise Robinson. But the Lovett one's huge. Jerrion Jones, that's a big one, but it's not in a position of need. But I'm never going to complain. I mean, he's a Florida State quality kid. He is. Jerrion Jones is a Florida State quality kid.
I think they need him at safety. They need him at safety, though. They need him to help be enforced at safety, because I don't think they need a big safety for this scheme. You know what I'm saying? And I think other than Hampson Nazarene, you don't have anybody else. I mean, I think they're going to try to put what's my guy name? Not Dent, but the other one.
Woodby.
Not Woodby.
Oh, Travis J.
Travis J. Yeah, but I think you still need depth, though. You know what I'm saying? You still need depth at that position. So I think him signing was a big deal, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I think
it was a big get, especially because you're going to get him for this season.
Yeah, and I do think that us going in there outbidding Ole Miss, I think there was a little bit of a bidding war going on in there. I think there was a bidding war going on. So that's a good sign going forward. I mean, you know.
It is a good sign.
Yeah, that's a good sign. When you got Ole Miss and Mississippi, you know, and you come out number one in that little battle, you know what I'm saying? I think that's a good sign going forward.
Money was handled. Removed.
Right.
Money was moved around a little bit. Right. But for the three high school kids, I actually really like two of them. Two of them I really like for different reasons. I don't think any of them are going to be like day two NFL guys. Like maybe one of them or two of them sneak into like the round four through seven. Who knows? I don't really know. I like Josh Burrell. I think he's the kind of kid that, you know, maybe you get 2 years of productivity at the later end of his career. I'm somewhat familiar with him. My roommates, his parents live in Columbia. I like to keep track of Carolina kids within like an hour of me. And Charlotte's about an hour from Columbia. So I'm going to go see Burrell play this year. I like him. He's got good size. He's not fast. He has the potential to be a good college wide receiver. If he's the best wide receiver on your team in the ACC, you're in trouble. But I don't think not every kid you get is going to be the best kid of position on your team. I think he's a solid depth player. Gives you some nice red zone option. And then I really actually like Jackson West, the kid that committed today. I think we're going to try to take two to three tight ends, maybe two and a JUCO. Norvell loves to use the tight end. And I'm a big fan of any scheme that involves a tight end. I think all the most successful schemes, most successful programs that you see around both college and NFL, heavily involve their tight ends. And Clemson, Alabama, LSU was, you know, used the tight end a lot this past year. Jimbo likes using the tight end. I don't think this changes anything with Michael Trigg. I still think he's the priority, but I think what I think happened this weekend, and this is just speculation, is any of the top level kids aren't committing during, like, I haven't really seen very many of the top level kids commit. And if they do, it's been two teams they've been a long time lean to, but the kids, they're not going to commit right now. What I think happened was that the staff gave a green light to a couple kids that they were okay taking. And they got it. I think you saw that even earlier with Hunter Washington, the DB from Texas. He's a smaller DB. That's what I think happened. I think there's other kids that want it. And I'm surprised that that they haven't taken it. There's a kid that I know would commit if he had the green light, and he didn't, and he hasn't committed yet. So that's why I think they gave some kids the green light. And the other thing about Eubanks, I saw a lot of people talking about, I can't remember the kid's name, the kid from Palm Beach that ended up going to Michigan.
Jalen Hood.
Jalen Hood. Him and Eubanks play very different positions. Like, Eubanks is like a pass rushing outside guy. When I watch Eubanks tape, though, I will say, like, I wasn't like discouraged, but I also wasn't excited. It was just like, okay, we took this kid. All right. Let's see if it works out.
Right.
I'm not gonna act like I can watch tape, and I'm not gonna act like I'm better than Marv at watching tape. But I will be honest, I wasn't excited when I watched this tape. I didn't, nothing screamed out, you know, great linebacker to me.
I will tell you what I see when I look at him, though, to be honest with you. I see a guy that's going to play on special teams. I see a guy that's going to be like a valuable piece on special teams. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I was just about to say, and no. I appreciate you saying that because I was wondering if you guys would agree with me on that. I think
a body that you value. You hope he's not getting
relying on.
At
least in his first 2 to 3 years, maybe he develops. I don't know, kid. Like a kid's work ethic can turn him. It might not make him a great NFL player, but it could make him a very good college player.
Well,
as a junior and as a senior, you know what I mean.
It makes it where you got a guy that when you bring top flight guys and they have to actually beat him out. Right, he's not going to let us give up a position.
Right,
you got to beat him out. You know, I don't. You know, it's funny. Okay, when I looked at his film and everything, I looked at him. I say, well, in year one, it may not be a bad take. Now, if he was in year two, I'd be like, I think that's a terrible take. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So, in year one, I don't think it's that bad, and I think they're going to put him more at safety. And I think he could grow into being like a DN for some reason. I kind of look at him and see a little flash DN in him a little bit.
I could see him as a pass rusher.
Right.
Something that I found interesting. Go ahead, Brandon. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, I think really the strategy for linebackers is the same thing with they should be doing with O-line, right? Let's just get a bodies in the camp. Let's see how many bodies we can put at this problem. And maybe we can figure out, you know, maybe some guys push some other guys, maybe some guys, you know, develop. And then we now have, I don't want to say a good problem, but you can end up with a good problem. Okay, we got a lot of bodies here. We got a lot of linebackers. And like you said, Sam, we can move someone, maybe, you know, bring somebody down as a specialty. Maybe he's only in there to rush the third down linebacker. Or you know, we can drop him back to safety or whatever the case may be, maybe as a run stopper. So I do think it's a good thing. Bring in as many linebackers as you can, the same way I feel about O-line. Man, bring in as many O-linemen as you can. Let these guys sort it out in camp. Let the best guys win.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
Another thing I was just – go ahead.
You know, I was saying it's fine. It's fine to do it in year one. I mean, now in year two, you want to have about 75% of that class of guys that's going to impact games, you know, from the day they step into camp. The first class, I think this class here, it's okay to have the foundation of hardworking guys with good body types. You know what I'm saying? I think it's okay.
Yeah, I think two things. One, with that kid in particular, Eubanks, that's actually the area that Norvell's from. So I'm wondering, like, that kid wasn't even on my radar. I don't know where that commitment came from. So I'm wondering maybe if Norvell just knows, like, there's some backdoor relationship there.
Yeah.
Another thing I think, and I was talking with somebody about this today. I was talking to Grimes about this actually, or I said it to Grimes. He didn't want to hear it, but he agreed. He did. He actually made it first. And I agree with him that bottom line, we can sit and talk about recruiting every week till the season starts.
Right.
I don't think we're going to see any sort of momentous change until games are played. I think this staff is going to write their destiny with the first 12 games of their tenure here. And if they put on a good enough product, they will recruit well enough to parlay that into long-term success if they play well enough on the field, because Florida State is not a hard place when it's running right. It is not a hard place to get talent to. Maybe they're not going to sign, like, let's say they go 9-3, maybe they don't sign a top eight class, but they'll do better recruiting in December than they are now in May and June. So it's going to come down to the games. Like, they're going to have to put, it's going to have to, the record, I'm not even as concerned about the record as I am concerned about watching the games and what it looks like. They could go 8-4. There's two, you know what I mean? It just depends how it looks, you know. Where are the improvements at? Is the O-line still as, like, they're going to have to sign some O-linemen. I think It's unfortunate because the two, and there's probably, this is probably a reason for this, is the two positions that we're struggling to recruit the most, D-line, specifically pass rushers, and O-line, specifically tackles, are the, and then you can put the, you can put DT in there too. Those are the three positions that there's the least number of great, of really good talent walking around. So the market value just goes up a lot for those kids.
Right.
And those kids, you know, the, those are the kids with the bags. You're talking about like $500,000 for the really, you know what I mean? The really, really good ones.
Whoa, Pete. No, I'm just joking. I'm just
yeah,
joking.
Like the really, really good ones.
Yeah, for the five stars, yeah, you're talking about $500,000.
Well, okay, y'all. Y'all can't be throwing out numbers, man. All right. So.
Man, we know what, man. This
price is going up. Price is going up.
We know what, we know.
I know, I know.
Our athlete costs. Those numbers have been way before we ever started podcasting. The numbers of what elite talent costs, those numbers have been out. And so if they were 200,000 5 years ago, we know inflation is going up and those numbers are now higher. So I agree.
I blame. $500, I blame.
Is what you're looking at.
Yeah, I blame Georgia for that. But anyway.
I mean, there's a lot of different things. I mean, here's the thing. You get paid what somebody, or you're worth what somebody's willing to pay you.
Yeah, the
market. So if
the market is
Georgia set, right, so if Georgia sets the market at 500, then we at 500. You know what I mean? Like, that's where it's at right now. So unfortunately, if we want the five stars, Tennessee is willing to pay their 500. Florida State got to be willing to pay the 500 if they want it. But if they saying, nah, we ain't paying more than 100, then you end up with 100 players. I mean, you know what I mean? That's just kind of what it is right now, right?
Right.
Like, the way recruiting works, you got to be willing to play the game that's being played, you know. And if we were told that the bags were coming back, we were told that, you know, they were willing to drop bags, so on and so forth. But what we've seen is that they can't, they're willing to stick their toe in the water. They're not willing to dive in.
Well,
know?
I don't. And think, I think I don't. That's why I don't. I think, I don't think that's what it is. I think that you have to evaluate because you got to make sure your money is well spent, right? And then you don't want to be used as a negotiating pawn either, right? You don't want to be used to leverage the other school, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you got to make sure, yeah, okay, but if I green light this, I can't just be green lighting for some guy just to be using it to, you know, go back and
if
forth.
If I give 500, I'm not giving 500 without it, without the signature. In other words, this is the offer that goes for your signature.
Brandon,
I mean, if
Brandon,
I understand how it works.
Brandon, I just thought about it. We're trying to get a couple coaches over here eventually, man. We got to stop talking about bags.
No, man. Everybody talk about bags. We're not the only people talking about bags. Like, listen, it's the unspoken rule, right? Everybody understands that bags are being dropped. Everybody knows bags are being dropped. I don't think we're anything out of line where anybody's like, oh man, I can't believe they're telling folks, man, we all know what's happening. Are we going to say, hey, John Smith is out here dropping bags, giving bags to whoever? No, man, we ain't going to do that. We're not irresponsible in that. But we all know that it's going on, right? So all I'm saying is, I believe, again, correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody know anything different, let me know. But what I'm saying is, from what I understood, if you've taken this 500, that is your security. That is the signature. In other words, you know what I mean? Like, you ain't getting 500 from everybody else. People ain't walking away with $2 million, but yet they don't walk, you know what I mean? But they took, because they took 500 from every school. No, the school that gets your signature is the one whose money you are accepting, essentially, from what I understood.
Well, I don't know. I think, I ain't going to get into it. I'm not doing this bags conversation. But anyway. So
I got some breaking news.
Go ahead.
Okay, breaking news. Let's go.
Breaking news, and there's a good side and a bad side to it. Luke Altmyer, Florida State quarterback commit, just got offered by Alabama.
Ooh.
You see the committable offer to Alabama, which that's a good reflection on him as a player. I've been high on him forever, but I can't.
No, you talked about how high you were on him.
I think if he was on campus this summer, I think he'd win the job. I really do. I think I'm really high on Purdy too. So that's not taken away from. And I like Rodemaker as well, but I really like Altmyer. And that's one of the offers. I don't know if I mentioned them, but that's one of the ones I didn't even know if he would get Alabama, because quarterback offers, they don't, those don't get handed out willy-nilly.
Wow. So that's they don't get handed out willy-nilly to Alabama either. Alabama ain't just handing out offers to quarterbacks either.
No. So that's one to just keep an eye on. So we'll see. We'll see what – I mean, Memphis was his first offer with Norvell. So him and Norvell got a good relationship.
I think the biggest thing that – Pease, I believe you said this on the timeline, you are who you recruit against. And so listening to, you know, seeing the fact that Alabama has not offered him kind of changes my perspective on all my – you were already high on him, but, man, seeing that Alabama has not offered him.
Yeah, so he's a gunslinger. I'm telling
about you. The type of player, yeah.
Yeah,
I think that says a lot about the type of player he has the potential to be.
I believe he already has LSU in Georgia.
Yeah. Can we get into the can we get into camp now? The challenges going into camp.
Sure. Absolutely.
So I'm looking at. We're gonna do one probably next episode. We get into most important players and everything. But I do think it's important for these first couple of weeks of camp for a quarterback to actually establish himself, right? And I think they're all on level playing field right now. So I think the quarterback position and the left tackle and right tackle position are the two most important positions right now.
Left tackle and right tackle.
The left tackle and the right tackle.
What? I mean, you serious about the left tackle and the right tackle?
Yeah, because Darius Washington is going to be the left tackle, right?
Okay, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like, is it really is? Like, I guess my thing is with when we talk about the tackles. I mean, tackles are pretty much who they are. Are there any challenges? That's my point. So I mean, your left tackle and right tackle are essentially who they are. So you basically got to you wrote they just got to get better. I mean, at the end of the day, you know who they are. Just get better.
How much faith do y'all have? How much faith do y'all have in the offensive line going into the year? Like, seriously.
On a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah.
2?
I'm at about a 2 to 3.
I'm at a 6.
6?
Yeah, because
which offensive line you been watching? Wait a minute.
Well,
lying already.
Well, see, I know because what's the well? Okay, so my thing is, I really believe in Darius Washington, Ari Henry, Dante Lucas, and the combination of a Brady Scott, Bavion Johnson, and Baselli, and the guy Devontae Taylor, right? So I just think out of that combination of players, I just think you could put up a serviceable offensive line that wins 50% of the time.
I like Baselli, and I like Lucas.
You don't think Ari Henry's going to be a player? I think Ari Henry's going to be a player.
I do not know. I think he's average to below. I think he's below average to average at best. I mean, which is, I guess, better than where we've been at, but it's not. Whatever quarterback behind him is going to have to be really, really elite. You're going to have to really know the offense because the ball's not going to get out of your hand quick, because I don't believe they can pass protect for nothing. And whoever the running backs are going to have to be very good at making guys miss in the backfield, because we've seen what they've done. I mean, I'm just saying we've been fortunate enough to have two really elite running backs running behind a really garbage offensive line. So when we look at Dalvin Cook and Cam Akers, they've made plays where there weren't plays to be made. You know what I'm saying? So unless LeBron or somebody else is willing to step up and become elite, I think the run game is still going to struggle, which then means you have to pass a lot. And I'm assuming Purdy is going to be the starting quarterback, because I don't think he's ready to stand on that line he put out on Twitter. So at this point, I don't know. You know what I mean? I think offense is going to really struggle this season. I think defense is going to have to carry it.
How confident are y'all with the defense?
I'm highly confident with defense. Yeah. I think defense can be elite.
I think so, too. I think it's a top unit on paper. I think it's, like, towards top 5 and top 10. I really believe that.
Yeah, I don't see very many weaknesses. We talked about it on the last pod with Trent. But I don't see very many weaknesses on the defense. I mean, I think with the upgraded linebacker crew, I think with the addition, we got like 20 court, DBs. DBs, Hamza comes back. D-line is well-established. You get back Kando. I don't see any weaknesses. There's five stars and four stars and elite level players all throughout your defense. I think the defense will absolutely keep us in ball games and maybe even win us a couple ball games, especially if Robinson and Kando are able to wreak havoc and us are able to wreak havoc the way I think they can. I think that allows your secondary to make, which then gives your offense more opportunities. So I think the defense will absolutely carry us, but I do worry a lot about the offense, mainly because of either we're looking at professional quarterback or we're looking at Slim back there again. And if we're looking at Slim back there again, that means a true freshman quarterback didn't step up the way they needed to. And if Slim back there, then I have no faith in anything the offense got going on. So, you know,
I think the defense will have to win us some games if Slim's back there. I think if we have a really good injury luck year, I really think we could be like a 10. I think we could be a New Year's 6 team with like if the defense has a perfect bill of health and the offensive line has a perfect bill of health. The thing that scares me the most isn't it's because of the offensive line, but it's actually the fact that we don't have Cam Akers. I think it's just my personal opinion. I think Cam Akers made a 3-9 type of team go 6-6 last year. I think Cam Akers made a 3-9 type of team go 5-7. I really think he was the difference between a few games. 3.9 of 4.9. He averaged 4.9 yards per carry, and 3.9 of those were after contact. the guy was getting hit. He could get 1 yard on average. On average, he got 1 yard before he got hit, before the contact was made. Now we got I like Laybourne, and I like the running backs that we have. I like the transfer. I can't remember his name.
Josh Corbin.
Damian Webb.
Jayshon Corbin.
I like those guys. I don't think any of those guys. I think Cam Akers was special. I really do. I think in hindsight, when we watch him in the NFL, we'll be like, damn, that offensive line was bad. Because I think Cam Akers is special, and I think he was a warrior and a safety blanket for the team. Like, you knew that you were good for at least 14 points, from Cam. He's going to move the ball down the field. He's going to give you two drives. He's going to make a play. Now, I think Terry's going to take a big jump this year. And Terry's going to be the kind of guy who he might be the difference. Like, if he stays healthy, if we lose Terry, and the offensive line is bad and Slim starting.
I thought the wide receiver was like literally the best spot on the whole team last year. I think we got quality wide receivers. I don't think the wide receivers are bad. So
I agree with you on the wide receivers. I don't think it matters though, because if nobody's able to get him the ball because he has no time, and you can't establish a run.
Yeah, but
defensive tackles are pinning their ears back.
Yeah, but if you get the wide receivers to commit to blocking on the edges, then that means you could throw that bubble pass and make your short running game like Florida did last year. That's all Florida did. Them to commit to blocking?
Wide receivers. I'm not even talking about in the last 2 years. Have we ever had wide receivers commit to blocking?
Let's go back.
2013.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like
they blocked pretty well in 2014 too.
Seen us run a successful bubble screen. I remember the first time we ran a successful bubble screen. I stood up in my living room like, man, look at that. We actually ran one of those. We don't see those very often. We saw him once again in Mississippi State last year when Terry took it to the house. We didn't see another one the rest of the season. So I'm just saying, if our game plan essentially is, all right, our wide receivers are going to block now, and we're going to throw some bubble screens to kind of be an extension of the run game, it's hard for me to feel like that's a winning solution because
Mike got us, bro.
Oh, Jesus.
Have some faith, bro.
right.
Sound like posting grinds on this pod. Get off the pod with all listen, that, bro. We lying on this pod today, bro. This is a lying pod, bro.
Yeah, Mike got today. Us.
Yeah, hey, bro. Mike got us, bro.
Go back and watch Memphis. We better know how to run. If we don't know how to run the ball, like if we can't block on, if we can't, what's the word? I'm losing my mind right now. We can't
block on the edges.
This dog's distracting me. Yeah, if we can't perform a bubble screen, we're it's over. Because
wasn't that the staple of Willie's offense?
Go back and watch.
Willie gone, bro.
The same lie. I recall saying the same lie when Willie was head coach. Like, Willie runs a lot of bubble screens. He got all these variations. And we saw him. We saw every last variation of the bubble screen that we could possibly see. And none of them went successfully. Because none of those receivers was committed to blocking on the edge, except for actually Terry. So then, and he only did it when he felt like it.
Randy, why are you on a podcast all this negative stuff, bro? We just got like five commitments, bro. Nobody's trying to hear that, bro. I'm finna mute his mic, Peach.
I'm speaking truth here. Like, again, am I lying? Tell me what the lies are.
Brandon, don't make me pull receipts, bro. Like you do, like they do me on the timeline. Don't get your receipts pulled, bro.
Mike got us.
Mike got us, bro.
Mike got us. You're right. Mike got us.
All right, bro.
Mike got us.
Bubble screen going for five yards a pop, bro.
All bubble screens going touchdowns this season.
No, they only score five yards a pop, bro. Okay. In a bubble screen, bro.
I'm with it.
All right. Tired of Brandon.
Yeah, we need 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, like, I don't know what's going on with Brandon today. Like, we got all these commits today. He's right here acting like, show this guy.
Now I'm the one not making sense. Got it.
All right. What's the next topic, man?
Hold on. You know what? I ain't done. I'm trying to figure out when was the last time. Like, I really want somebody to explain, outside of the 2013 season, when was the last time we ran two successful bubble screens in the same game? Any of the listeners out there, anybody who's a historian of Florida State, anybody, coaches, everybody who knows anything about Florida State football, show me the film where we ran two successful bubble screens.
Was Mike Norvell coaching those teams?
Y'all determine what success is in the bubble screen. 2 yards, I'm taking them. Just give me two of them in one game, because I'm telling you, I cannot remember the last time we did it. Because, again, for some reason, our receivers have all come to Florida State to all catch the deep ball. They all want to be, Noonan Murray. So all of them are Noonan Murray from what I've seen. So, again, if they out there doing it, please send me the film. But what I'm saying is if I'm betting on our receivers blocking, and that's going to help the run game, that's not a bet that I'm willing to make.
Man, you know, Peach, I can't even mute his mic. I can't even mute it. I'm trying to find a button.
I'm going
to
mute myself.
I can't even mute the mic, bro. Can't even mute the mic. What's wrong with you? We got to kick out the podcast.
Mike got us.
Thank you, Peach.
September 5th.
Peach, September 5th. What is wrong with this guy? I don't understand.
September 5th? Who was that against?
He doesn't know who Mike Norvell is. It's okay. September 5th, first play, bubble screen, Kamori and Terry.
Touchdown.
77 yards.
I referenced touchdown. That.
And we blocking kicks this year. And we running touchdown for punt return. Man,
we will block kicks. We will return. We will have a block out bowl prediction. We will have a bubble screen. We will have three successful bubble screens. A block kick and a special teams touchdown in the game against West Virginia.
And that's what we do now. That's who we are at the end of the day, bro. That's what we do.
If that happens, okay. I'm coming on telling everybody we beating Clemson. I'm gonna come out here. I'll be right with Trench on that line, ready to say we beating Clemson. I'm with him on. If that happens against West Virginia, I'm prepared to lie with everybody else.
Bro, you're
I'm gonna be at that game if they let us.
You're a pessimist, bro. You're a pessimist, bro. Nobody wants to hear that,
listen.
Bro.
If it happens, I'm with it. Listen, I'm gonna be in Atlanta if they let us. Again, if the stadium's open, I'm gonna sit six seats apart from you, and then P's gonna sit six seats across from us, and we're going to all sit there. And if it all happens, we're going to record from the parking lot. We ain't even going to go back to the hotel. We're going to record from the parking lot, and I'm going to be ready to lie and tell everybody we beat Clemson. But I'm telling you, at this present moment, I, for some reason, have not seen that happen yet.
Bro, you got one more prepared. You got one more negative comment, bro, yeah. And you're getting dropped. One more. That's it, bro.
Okay, you're right.
That's your last word,
right.
Bro.
I ain't gonna drink no more, yeah, brown.
Bro. That's it, bro. This is Johnny Walker talking, bro. Mike got us, bro.
Mike got us, okay.
We back to the Niners again. Peach, what is wrong with this guy, Peach? How many good players do we got to bring in for this guy to understand? How many players do you need for us to bring in, bro?
I don't know. Maybe a five-star.
All right.
Give me a five-star. All right. You know what? My fault.
Scrap it.
I'm sorry.
All right, bro.
He got us.
All right.
Mike got us.
Thank you.
And Mike, we trust.
All right. Thank you.
Mike got us a day at a time. First step, beat West Virginia.
Then after we beat West Virginia, we're going to the Potato Boys. We're frying that shit up. We're taking that shit back down to Tallahassee after we fry the Potato Boys up. I don't forget who we play after that, but.
NC State,
are we beating Boise? We beating Boise on the blue turf?
Frying up potatoes, bro.
Hashtag Mike got us. Power Ooh. 5 Mike.
Power Ooh, 5 Mike, baby.
P5 right. Mike.
P5 Mike.
Okay. G5 Mike. He got us.
The same G5 ain't team nothing. With two freshman quarterback that came in the dope
and
came back from a. All right. No. You're right. You're
Brandon,
right.
With Mike all due respect, Mike. Brandon, that was your last one.
Hashtag Willie.
You're right. That was under Willie. Those players aren't here anymore. They're all coached by Mike, and Mike got them to believe. You're right. My fault. Listen, man. On to real. I respect Mike. I actually like Mike. I've met him. I told you. He had me ready. As close as he was to my face, I was ready to run through a wall at this point. So I believe in Mike. I really do. I like Mike as a person, and I do think he's a good coach. I just think we're asking a lot of Mike in year one to be able to turn around a bad culture, to turn around some very poor play and players who've been coached poorly over the last couple years, and do all of this and win some games while going through a pandemic and not having his spring practices, and not having his spring practices, not having a real offseason, not having a real camp, and while the country is currently burning as we speak. All I'm saying is I think we're asking a lot of Mike in year one to do all this stuff. I believe in Mike. I like Mike. I just think we asked a lot. So I think our expectations need to be tempered just a little bit.
Can I ask you a question?
Like, that's what I really believe.
Can I ask you a question, Brandon? Did Jesus walk on water? That's all I got. I don't know what else you want.
What else do you want
from Mike Norvell, bro?
Mustard seed faith. You're right. All I need. That's all I need. I'm with you.
Peach, Mike, let's get back to more positive stuff on this podcast because we got like another 5 minutes. We're trying to, you know, wrap up on this thing. So what?
Peach, what are your thoughts on camp, man? We ain't even answered the question on camp. Peach, what are your thoughts, man, on camp?
Yeah, bro, you own the podcast trying to trash Mike Norvell, bro. You need to go take that to Twitter, bro. If you want to trash the coaching staff, do like I do, go to Twitter with that, bro. Don't bring that to the podcast, bro.
You're right. I'm going to just tweet out my thoughts. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, thanks. No, go ahead, Peach.
Tell us some of the challenges, man, our team might face.
I think a lot of challenges. The first one, it's more so the unknowns. What happens when somebody gets sick? If anyone, God forbid, gets the virus. I know they don't test. Well, I think they're testing all student athletes, I read. And then every day when they come in, every time they come into the facilities, they get their temperature taken. So there's that. I was reading over the guidelines, and I kind of got the idea that it's going to be non-contact, which I don't know how long that'll go on for. I mean, it's challenging. It does suck to have a new coaching staff, but the teams with the real established, you know, the Clemsons, the Alabamas, you know, the teams that have coaching staffs, well, Alabama's coaching staff is actually pretty new besides Saban. But those programs have a huge advantage right now. Any team with a new coaching staff, the reality is that it is kind of a mulligan year. I don't know, because then you get further behind in recruiting, and I'm getting off topic. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be challenging. Yes, it's distancing of 6 feet is expected to be maintained. Passive travel for entry and be established to ensure 6 feet social distancing. This is for camp. Currently, so they can't even have the full football team in one place at once, so it's going to be split up. There's a lot of challenges. The good news is that everyone has to deal with it. That's also the bad news. So everyone has to deal with it. So it ain't that much of an excuse. The only excuse is that it's a first, like, it is. It does make it tougher on a first-year head coach because you can't really establish a new culture. Like, I don't, you know, let's say we don't get much of a camp. Like,
Pete sounds a lot like me on the record. I just thought I'd point that out. Go ahead.
I do agree with you. I mean, being real, like, I do like Mike. I think Mike won more from a national championship.
Pete, don't fall into his negativity, bro. Don't fall into it, bro. That's what he tried to do.
I am creating a narrative on putting it on the back burner in case shit does hit the fan. That we are asking a lot of Mike. I think he'll be fine, which I think he's a football genius.
Thank you.
And Mike got us.
And a special teams guru. He's also a special teams guru. Don't forget that.
He's the best special teams mind in the game.
It's really not that close either, to be honest with you. I don't know who the second guy would be.
Yeah, I mean, it's challenging. I think that we end up, especially, I think one of our biggest advantages is that we're in the state of Florida. I think the state of Florida is going to be probably the very first state back to, like, quote-unquote normal in terms of, like, I don't think every, especially in our conference, every school is going to have fans at their games. I think we will. Yeah. I think Florida State will. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was full. I'm not sure about, like, the first game, the neutral site game in Atlanta. I don't think Boise is going to have fans at their game, but I think we'll have fans at all of our, you know, that changes that game a lot. That changes, like, my expectations for that game. You know, I think Clemson will, but that, never mind, that's in Tallahassee. Miami won't, but that's nothing new. It'll be Florida. If they do have fans, it'll be half Florida State, you know.
And that was a shot. That was a nice shot, Pete.
But no, like, I think
that was a nice shot.
Yeah, that is nothing new. But I mean, as long as I've been alive. But yeah, I mean, the one thing we do have going for us is that we're in the state of Florida, and I think, you know, there's a reality in the future that that could be the difference between, like, 3 wins. You know what I mean? Like, maybe we get to practice before. Maybe other practices get, like, shut down and teams get less practice than us within our conference. Like, North Carolina's – I live in North Carolina. We're opening, but we're not opening as fast as, like some of – like, Florida or Alabama or Texas. And North Carolina's a pretty – like, there's – it's a certain kind of state that opens up first, if you know what I'm saying. There's a certain kind of state that does it. And so some of the, like, who are other challenging games? Like, I don't know about West Virginia. They'll probably open up. They'll probably be fine. Boston College, that they might not even play football. Syracuse, they might not even play football. The schedule might change completely. We may be playing, like, a regional team. You know what I mean? We may play, like, FAU. You know, that would be great. Playing teams within our state.
So Brandon going to sit here trying to slander Norvell. Now you trying to slander Willie, bro. Watch out. What y'all trying to do to me tonight, bro? What's up with that, bro?
I like Willie. I like Willie, but I would love to play him. I would love to see FAU coming to Doak. I would, because I like to watch the world burn. Like, I would just love to see the reaction. I would love to see, like, there's no way that FAU would never agree to that, though. You know what I mean? It's just not good PR because, you know, they wouldn't agree to that. And if he beat us, oh, my God. God. Maybe we shouldn't agree to it. It's not worth the risk of losing. I mean, if we lost to FAU, I don't know what I would do. I really don't know what I would do. If we lost to Willie, if we ever lose to Willie, because I think Willie's going to get a better job. And if he, like, let's say he gets the NC State job, that's my worst nightmare. Is having to play Willie Taggart every year. It's my worst fucking nightmare. Because you can never lose to him. Like, that's the way we talk about him. We can never lose. Like, in NC State, at NC State, he'd be capable of pulling out, like, 3 wins a decade. You know, 2-3 wins against us a decade. He would pull one off. Like, and that's the kind of job I think he gets. I think he gets, like, a mid-level P5 job. Like a South Carolina or
you
NC
know what,
State. Or,
you know what
or
job,
like a Georgia Tech.
You know what job I always thought Willie was going to get? I never thought he was going to get the Florida State job. You know what job I did think he was going to get, though? I always thought the Georgia Tech job was, like, the perfect job for him. It was, like, if he got that Georgia Tech job, that would be, like, ugly, right? Because he'd be in the state of Georgia where he recruited the best at. That'd be, like, an ugly scenario, bro. It's a good thing he didn't get that job. That's a good – I'm glad he didn't get that job. Because that would have been ugly, in my opinion.
I want him to do well. I actually do. I just don't want him to do well at my team's expense. Like, I would love for Willie to go out to, like – I think he would do well at a school like South Carolina or Missouri – like a SEC school where he can get them better talent. And I think he learned a lot from FSU, from his time at FSU. I really do. I actually like Willie. I think it just – the situation, he wasn't cut out for the situation, and no one really knew the situation. And I think he had a lot of bad luck. I do. I think he did. But he wasn't cut out to get himself out of that bad luck. And some coaches are. Some coaches like can tread water a little bit, but that thing was doomed before it started. The bags dried up quick. I think there's reasons. This might be relevant. I think there's some reasons that the bags dried up quicker on Willie than they will for Norvell. The money comes from a certain demographic.
Right.
A certain type of person. A certain type of person is the one that's putting up the 500K that you need to get a left tackle. And if you lose 20, like your Willie's lease was shorter. His leash, excuse me, was shorter than anybody else. I believe that. And I think I hate to parlay this into what Norvell is going to do and make it about him, but I think his bag, if he wins games, it's actually like people will be like, finally, we have something we can throw some money behind.
Right.
But for Willie, yeah, like I want him to do well. And I think he will. I think he's going to kill it at FAU. I don't want him to get – I could see Miami hiring him. I really could. I could see – that's a nightmare because you can't lose to him. You know, you can't. It's a really bad look. With the way it went down at Florida State, it makes you look bad. You know what I mean? Like just like if we put Jimbo on the schedule and he kicked our ass 2 straight years, like a home and home, he kicked our ass. That's a bad look for us,
right?
Because everything on him in turn is false, and it's actually a poor reflection on you. So yeah, sorry I went on that little tangent, but yeah, I mean there's challenges with fall camp, and I'm curious just to see how it plays out. Like as far as the football goes. I think Purdy's going to get the job because no one got spring practice. I think they're going to go to the deep running back rotate. Like it's going to be a three-headed monster at running back.
Yeah,
I think the wide receivers were deep, and I think the whole defense is. I'm not even worried about it. The defense, I'm not worried about. If we lose Kando, I don't want to lose him. I think he's the only. He's not super replaceable. And you don't want to lose like Marv or Hamza, but we're deep. I think we're five deep at D tackle. I really do. Like I think Thompson, what's his name? The kid that everyone picks on, True Thompson.
True.
I think he's a great rotational DT. He's not a starter, but he's a great rotational DT. He's like he's your fifth man. That's not bad. I'm excited. I really am excited about defense.
Okay, Sam, we're going to wrap with you, man. Go ahead and give us some of your challenges.
No, I'm ready to wrap.
Going in the camp.
I'm ready to wrap now, man. I'm going to give y'all a tweet of the day, though. I got a funny tweet.
Hold on. Okay.
All right, tweet of the day. All right.
Somebody quote tweeted, Tridentino, remember when Altmyer was underrated and will be moving to a blue chip status soon? G5 level prospect. Amazingly, Norvell is not active with any of them. And so, at Butch 007, Guru No, he said, debate Nick Saban.
debate Nick Saban.
I just thought I'd put that one out there since he got the offer today from Alabama. That's pretty cool. But no, nah, man, I think Kemp's going to be good. I think Kemp's going to be fine. I think they're going to be okay. I think they're going to win 8 games. And, yeah, that's what I think. I think because you're talking about challenging, I don't think putting that scheme in is going to be as difficult as everybody thinks. I just don't think it is. And this team's a lot older. It's an older team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the only reason I say it could be a challenge is because you get those extra practices as a new coach that they've kind of lost out. They've kind of missed out on a little bit. They also, like I said, the spring, I think, would have been huge as far as evaluating. All right, we can cut some more of the dead weight. Some of the guys who I absolutely would have and should have been gone. I'm not calling any names, but I think they would have been gone had we had a real spring. Had they been able to actually make some real decisions and look at these guys in the spring practice and go through, you know, some of the drills and some of the workouts, then I think at that time they would have cut bait and they would have said, all right, you, all right, listen, we appreciate the time here, but y'all should probably hit the portal. And then you can go in and evaluate some other guys who've gone through spring practice. And now they also are maybe in the same boat at Alabama or something like that, where they were able to say, okay, well, listen, you're not going to start at Alabama, but you can definitely start here at Florida State. And so I think you look at certain positions of need, especially, and you say, all right, well, that spring, really not having a spring really, really hurts Mike Norvell from the evaluation standpoint, from not only his own team, but also other coaches evaluating their teams and being able to maybe cut bait for some of these top-level guys, and then they go into other schools. So that's just my opinion on it. But I do think that's a real challenge. I do, like I said, I do believe in Mike. I do believe he can absolutely win games. But I do think he does have some serious, serious challenges going into year one that I hope he's able to overcome.
All right. Well, let's wrap right there, man.
All right, man. Well, listen, y'all just heard the Listen Up podcast. Rate, review, subscribe, retweet, comment. As always, welcome dialogue. Your Facebook listeners, y'all should be back on. You know, we apologize for not reaching out to you guys, making some changes. But, yo, we look forward to hearing from you guys especially, man. Get back at us. We out. Yep.